interesting fact about the just some facts about Chile. Chile is, when you think of other countries like maybe Peru or Honduras or Kenya, you consider it is a third world country. Chile is actually, according to one of the missionaries there, is not considered a third world country. The tap water there is actually clean. You can actually drink from there. There may be some element of third world country where you see certain part of Chile where there's a slums, but it's actually one of the richer third world countries. So if you think that country looks poor, wait until you go to some other countries and see pictures from there. Another interesting fact about Chile is that the missionary, the host missionary that we work with, is his name is Jason Holt. He has been in the field for 12 years, and he is the guy with the short, red-haired guy next to Bradley Edmerson. You probably have seen a few pictures of him while he was preaching at church. And he mentioned about a philosophy. As you know, Santiago, Chile has 7 million people. That is a lot of people. Now, you could build one Baptist church and have tried to reach 7 million people. But what he decided to do is he basically start with one church and then build the church from there and then branch out to basically building several churches. Since there's a population of 7 million people, we'll put one church in a certain area of 50,000 people, another church with another 50,000 people. So if you do the math, you can build 140 Baptist churches down there. And to our knowledge, there's about 4 Baptist churches down there. We got to visit 3 Baptist churches on Sunday, and we enjoyed it. Everything was in Spanish. The food that they give to us was very good. Pollo, which is chicken, is one of the main food that they eat in Chile. So if you go there, you enjoy their chicken, you enjoy their rice, and good time there. And one last thing about when I was in Chile, there was a really awesome testimony that our missionary shared with one of the local pastors in their area. The Sunday morning service in Iglesia Bautista de Vida, which is Life Baptist Church, the pastor there had a really neat testimony how he grew up in a rough family life, got into drugs and alcohol, went to prison not once, not twice, but 3 times. And he also played with a lot of girls. In fact, one of them that he laid with, she ended up having a baby. But at the 3rd time of his prison, someone in the prison shared the gospel with him, and that was the first time he heard it. He got saved, he believed the gospel, and his life changed. He got set into a solid church down there. He eventually finds a girl that he laid with, finds her, she gets saved, and then they get married, and now he's a pastor of one of the churches that we worked at. And just to say that, you know, sin may be great, God is greater, and God can transform lives in a mighty way. So I encourage you, if you have never been to a mission trip, like I've been through probably too many to count on, I encourage you to go to a mission trip. Just the fact that God commands us not to just go into just the United States of America to preach the gospel, but go ye into all the world to preach the gospel. It's one thing to just minister in the States, which is good, but it's also important just to minister out what is basically the real world outside of our country. So I encourage you, just maybe consider next summer or maybe throughout the year, just pray about it. Ask God to give you an opportunity to get involved with the mission trip. And if you have any questions, I would love to help you out with that, maybe connected with some group and go from there. Someone told me that I should try to preach and end at 7 o'clock p.m. and preach about goldfish in my message. I don't know if that's going to really happen, so we'll see what happens from there. So if you take your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. The Lord has really blessed me just an opportunity just to be able to minister to this church in various ways. One of which, just fruit out of teaching in this Christian school, was that Anthony and I got to basically been leading a Bible study with some of the teen boys from this church and from the school. And we've just been going through 1 John this year. So I thought maybe just finishing up the Bible study and share it with you all as we just cover through 1 John chapter number 5. A couple other things that I want to share quickly. Those of you who are going to the wilds, have fun, have a great time. You're going to enjoy it if you allow God to enjoy it. I went to the wilds when I was a teen camper back in 2006, 2007, 2008. Hard to believe that's over just about a decade ago. Time flies, but God has used my life to really work in my heart. My last year there, right before I went to college, I surrendered at that camp and in another camp to full-time ministry. I'm just willing to serve wherever you go. And I would never have thought I would be standing here where I'm at right now. And that is just a testimony of what God can do when you surrender your life to Him and do it with joy. And then also VBS, cool story. I was in Australia for my third summer there, or it's winter there technically, because it's also in the summer in Southern Hemisphere, just like Chile. I got to work in the VBS, and on Wednesday, after one of our team members shared a clear resurrection gospel message, I was able to lead a girl to a Lord, and it was really exciting just to see the curiosity in her face. She asked me how I could go to heaven, especially in a country where Australia is a hard country to reach out people for the gospel. So to reach that one child for Christ and knowing that she has a smile in his face, knowing that she is going to be with the Lord in heaven, that is a great eternal fruit that the Lord has really given to me. So without further ado, I'm going to pray and just ask the Lord just to speak to you as the Lord speaks through me as we get into his word. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for the opportunity to preach your word. Thank you for using me. I pray that you would just help me be a clean vessel for you. Help the audience, whatever their minds are going through, help them to just focus in the message. Help me to be clear and articulate as I present the message, present your word to you or to the people, and that you would be glorified through it. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I may be speaking to four different groups of people. I may be speaking to a person that may not be saved. You may just came here to visit, or you've been coming to this church for a while and you have not believed in Jesus Christ. You not have accepted Christ as your Savior. You're not sure you're going to heaven when you're died. I may be speaking to someone that you are not sure that you are saved. Now, I got saved when I was 14 years old. That was 12 years ago. But the first couple of years of my life, because of kind of what I was raised in a good home overall, I didn't see a major change in my life. So I was really questioning about my salvation for the first couple of years. I didn't really get settled in until my junior and senior year of high school. And then even then, still struggled at a period of time when I was in college. So I want to share with you just to kind of encourage you, because 1 John is a great book that deals with an evidence of a true believer. Things that you could check yourself, maybe whether or not you're a true believer, or if you know you're a true believer, or you may be the third group that you are saved, you know you're going to heaven when you die, but you feel like you're drifting away from God. I may be speaking to you personally, or I may be speaking to you that you know of someone, whether it's a family member, a friend, a neighbor, that it might be drifting away from God. It may not be any really, really bad sin, but it is kind of a subtle sin that is basically drawing you away from church, drawing away from the Christian family, drawing away from serving and loving the Lord. I am also speaking to maybe believers that have a heart to serve the Lord, that love the Lord. I'm going to point out Jimmy has been a great friend the last couple of years. Jimmy and Brittany both, just the encouragement that I've been, the fellowship that I had, the soul winning we have done together. And I really want to say thank you for being a great friend for me. And I may be speaking to you, and you just have to keep going and keep going from there. And then I'm going to add one more thing. Beware of people that are teaching false doctrines. Beware who are teaching false, basically lies about Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, he talks about, John was talking about that. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh of God. And then I'll just stop right there. So you're going to meet some people. If you ever get to talk with other people at your coworker, or if you get to witness to people, you're going to hear their conversation. They say they believe in Jesus Christ, but they may have some other weird beliefs, basically that is not found in the Bible. So I want you to just be able to guard yourself and just basically focusing on not necessarily what a person says or what I say, but what the Bible says. So I want to share with you, getting to the main point of the message, evidence of the truth believers. And I have 8 truths of a truth believer. So if I want to share this, I got 60 minutes. So let's see if it will work out. So truth number one, finding in verse 1, true believers are born of God. If you are a believer, you are born of God. You could see it in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Just look at there. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. When he's saying you're born of God, that means that you are God's child. So in response to that truth, you're born of God. You're God's child. God is your father. He is your heavenly father. Now, maybe some of you, you're blessed that you have godly parents that save, that love the Lord. Some of you may not be blessed with godly parents that may not be walking with the Lord. They're not saved, or they might be split. Or maybe in some cases, you have parents that are no longer living here on this earth. But I want to encourage you, regardless of where you are in your family relationship, there is one person that you can always go to, and he is always part of your family as a believer, and that is God, your heavenly Father. And if you think about it, he is the only person that you can go to anytime. He is the only one that created you. He's the only one that is there for you 24/7. Even your mom and dad cannot be with you all the time. He's the only one that will never fail you nor forsake you. He is the only one that can do all things. The things that people do that are impossible, or tasks that are impossible, God can do the impossible, because there's nothing impossible with God. So truth number one, true believers are born of God. You're a God's child. Truth, evidence of a true believer, that true believers, they love God, love others, and keep his commandments. I'll start in verse 1 and jump down to verse 3. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begatteth loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. If you remember the 2 great commandments, Jesus said to the religious leaders, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Just going straight to the point, anyone that you're around, your neighbor, your friend, your acquaintance, your coworker, your boss, your employee, whoever it may be, that is your neighbor. And God wants you to not only love him, but love your neighbor. You cannot say that you love God if you hate your brother or hate someone. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, just kind of going back a few verses. Actually, let me go back to verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? If you fail to love someone that you can see in front of you, how can you love someone that you have never seen in your life? You believe about him, you know about him, but you haven't seen him face to face. I know I have not seen God face to face, at least not yet. So God wants you to love him, but not only that, if you truly love God, you will naturally love other believers as well. It is possible that you can love your brother and not love God. It is possible to even love your brother and not believe in God. But it is not possible to love God and not love your brother or someone. So love God, love others, and keep his commandments. Jesus said his disciples, if ye love me, keep my commandments, as John 14, 15 says. Keeping God's commandments is not a burden. It's our benefit. I made this statement. Keeping God's commandment is for our benefit, not for our burden, for two reasons. First of all, it is an evidence that is a true believer. A person who believes in God, loves God, wants to obey God, and will obey whatever rules that is set behind them. Let me give an example. Down in Pensacola Christian College, back in my time, and Brittany was there, guys would have to wear long pants, slacks. We had to wear a collared shirt. And there was a period of time that we had to, when we go off campus, we can't really go out in jeans unless we're doing some sort of recreation or a Bible club. We would have to go in basically slacks and collared shirts. Girls, they have to wear skirts or dresses, something modest. And one of the cool things about that is that when you go off campus, you'll see a girl that is wearing a skirt and say, oh, that's probably a PCC student. That student is from Pensacola Christian College. As opposed to someone who's wearing a long jeans, that probably are not. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong for girls to wear jeans. I know what I'm saying. I'm saying that having a standard where you can represent Christ by the way you dress can set an example so that other people believe that they know that you, at least you're from a Christian college, and hopefully that you are a Christian. Am I making sense on that? Making sense? Okay. So that's one thing. It's an evidence of a true believer. Also, if you're meeting someone that say that they are a believer, that but they're not living the rules, they're not obeying God, you know they're not living for the Lord, then you have to really question them. One, are they really saved? And two, even if they are saved, they're not walking with the Lord based on their fruit, so you don't want to be with them. So this is not just only for you, but this is also for those that you're going to be without. And my recommendation is, especially those of you going to college, choose your friends wisely, because your friends could either lift you up or they can tear you down based on what kind of friends they are. Not only that it is an evidence of a true believer, but it's also for the protection of sinners. And I want to share with this. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Adam and Eve just only had two commandments. First of all, they were able to eat the fruit of any tree. The second is, do not eat of the tree of that, do not eat the fruit of that one tree, the knowledge of good and evil. 1 Timothy chapter 1. As I get there. And we're going to look at verse number 8. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for homemongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And the purpose of the law is not to basically to make yourself burdened. Now, the religious leaders did a good job to add laws or enforce laws in a way that the law was more of a burden than a blessing. But God's law is there for us so that we will not be burdened, but we would be protected. Adam and Eve did not need the Ten Commandments, such as thou shalt not steal, because there's really nothing to steal from. Thou shalt not kill. They didn't have a knowledge to kill someone at that time. Of course, a generation later, he would have a son that would kill one of his other brothers. But the commandments is there for us, such as the Ten Commandments and the various commandments that you would see in the Old Testament, and the commandments and the principle that you see in the New Testament is for the protection for other believers. So the point is that don't worry about just the stricture of rules. Don't worry about it. Whatever job you may have or whatever college you go to, you may hear that Christian college or certain Christian colleges, they have, oh man, we have a lot of rules. If you love God, if you want to live for the Lord, don't worry about the rules. You don't have to worry about them. The rules are there not to be a burden. They are to be a blessing to protect you. And honestly, despite the rules, you can really enjoy basically living at the college and do what you want to do. I certainly did. So moving on from there, true believers, they love God, love others, and keep his commandments. So if you struggle with that concept, if you struggle to love God, love others, keep his commandments, ask God to help you to love him. We are thankful that we have the ability to love God because he first loved us. Truth number three, true believers overcome the world. True believers overcome the world. Verse number four, for whatsoever is born of God. Let me go back to verse one. Whosoever believeth in Jesus Christ is born of God. So if you're a believer in Christ, you are born of God. So this is for you. So verse four, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Here's your response. Don't be afraid of the impossible, because we have a God that can do the impossible. Amen. Don't be afraid to do the impossible, because God can do the impossible. A true believer will be able to live a freer life. God, Jesus Christ, died for us and forgave us for our sins, not so that we can enjoy the pleasure of sin or be bondage of sin, but Jesus Christ saved us so that we can be free from sin, live a life, a free life, and then live for God to do great and mighty things that only God can do through us. A true believer is living free in a life of sin. Now, that doesn't mean that you're never, ever going to sin or you're never, ever going to backslide. Personally, there have been times in my life, and you can say the same, where I have been at a point through circumstances that I have been drifting away from God for whatever reason. But we can go to God and ask him to renew us. Proverbs 24:16 says, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Amen. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. So if you're a just man, you may fall into sin, you may trip up in sin, you may did something or say something you shouldn't have said, but hey, don't give up, don't stay down, get up. Right. Just as a runner who basically running a race and he tripped and fell, he's not gonna stay down. He's gonna try to get up to keep running. Likewise, if you're a Christian, you may be down, you may be hurt, but get up to fight. And 1 John 1:9, great promise, great verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us for all unrighteousness. There is no sin, there is no amount of sins that would be too hard for God to forgive. There is no sin that would be too hard for God to forgive. Any sin that you have committed, if you confess it before God, he will forgive you. That is a promise from God. A true believer is not only living a freer life from sin, but is living a life of faith. If I share with you just the many different things that have happened to me, for instance, just all these mission trips that I've been going, especially the last couple of years, you can imagine the finances that I have raised, support. Some of it is just through this work here. Some of it is the money has been given miraculous to me. And just the timing of how all these things work. And I just trusted in God. God would provide the money. God would provide the timing. If he wants me to go, he will let me go. And I saw with my own eyes that God would provide. Even in one trip, I saw that I signed up for the trip. We prayed. We paid for the entrance fee. That day, we got a call from someone that told me that she was praying that she's going to support a missionary and that she would pay the rest of my trip. The day that I signed up for it. That's nothing that I've done. That is a God that's moving someone's heart to give money, because here's a man that is willing to give his life for the Lord and willing to serve him, rather staying home and doing whatever he wants to do, wasting his time. A true believer is living by faith. You can tell a person is living a changed life and a joyful life through faith in Christ. You may think of some people in the church or some Christians that you know that you know that they are a believer, just because of the fruit. The faith that David did when he faced Goliath, the giant, alone. The faith that Peter had where he walked on water to go and see Jesus. For young people, you want to go to college, and there's a specific college that God wants you to go, or maybe go to a Christian college. Don't worry about the finances. Don't worry about wondering if, you know, what the friends are thinking of me or whatever it may be. If God wants you to go to college, God will take care of you. He will provide the money. He'll provide the other things that you need to do so. If you have a heart for a mission trip, if you want to go to a mission trip that badly, and you say, Daniel, I don't have the money. Daniel, I don't know how it's going to work. I will tell you foremost and front, money is not an issue. If God wants you to go, he will let you go. And he will provide the money right in front of the eyes, knowing that you're going to the mission trip not because you provided yourself, but God provided through some miraculous circumstance. I'm willing to do whatever you're doing, and I hope you are willing to do wherever you want to do, or willing to go wherever you want to go. Young, whether you're a young person or maybe an older person, maybe God is calling you to full-time ministry to be able to preach the gospel or to serve in a church or serve overseas. If you know that God has been working in your heart over and over again, allow God to do the work. Take the next step. Go to someone. Go to a godly counsel to be able to lead you to what the next step is. And if you follow God's step in your life, you will not regret it. If you don't follow that next step, you will regret it. But if you do, you won't regret it. So truth number three, true believers overcome the world. You don't have to worry about temptation because God will take care of it. You don't have to worry about how you're going to get the situation done. God will take care of it. Number four, true believers believe that Jesus is the Son of God. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, say amen. Amen. Yes. Look at 1 John 5:5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Anyone who claims that Jesus is not the Son of God is a liar and a false teacher. Right. You hear the conversation about maybe they're talking about God, talking about Jesus, and then talk about other things. And if you get the chance to ask him, now sometimes you have people that like to talk a lot. You try to say like five words and they keep talking and you may not get a chance to say it. I've been in a situation just recently. That's why I'm saying that. But if you get a chance to talk to him, ask him, what do you believe about Jesus? Do you believe he's the Son of God? Do you believe that he came in the flesh? Do you believe he rose again? His answer would clearly depend on what type of person he is and if he does not declare that Jesus is the Christ, the Lord, the Son of God, then you know that he is a liar. At best, he's deceived. As worse, he's a false teacher, a false prophet. And I'm going to tell you that Jesus is the Son of God because Jesus Christ overcame the world. He overcame temptation against Satan, proving that no matter how many times Satan would tempt him, Jesus can quote back with scripture, and he knew he's the Son of God, and he's focusing on doing the Lord's will. And of course, he is God. He overcame suffering, especially the last 3 years of his ministry. People were coming to him, want to go to him to heal their sickness. People were coming to him, want to hear their teaching. And people wanted to come to him because they wanted to kill him. He overcame persecution. Time after time, the religious leader sought to take Jesus from the people and sought to take his life, sought to kill him, thought to throw him in the cliff. Eventually, they were able to take Jesus. But lastly, he overcame death. The fact that Jesus Christ followed and completed God's will, even when everyone betrayed him, he went and finished, and he went on the cross. He died. He was buried. But the story does not end there. He rose again the third day after his death, proving that Jesus Christ conquered sin, conquered death, and that all may who believe in Christ shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that is the great news. We have an amazing God. You know, it's not like we have a Batman who died, the actor of Batman, the original Batman, a Rotter, who died just recently, I think last month, You know, if Batman were real and he died, he couldn't be in the grave. Same thing with Superman. If he died, he would be in the grave. But Jesus Christ, he died. But he's the one who conquered death, and he's risen from the dead. So true believers believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, number five, true believers are given assurance of eternal life. I'm going to jump down to verse number 10. Verse 13 is a very familiar passage to you all, so I'm going to start in verse number 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Now, just because you believe in something does not make it true. Just because I could say George Washington is not the first president of the United States, and I could say I believe that. That does not make it true. I could say the country of Ghana does not exist. That does not make it true. The country of Ghana does exist. Likewise, people that claim that do not believe in God, that do not believe in Jesus Christ, they are liars. They are believing a lie. Because here, a psalmist wrote, a fool said in his heart, there is no God. The truth of the matter is, there is a God. They do believe is a God. They just don't want to be accountable when they have to stand in front of him. Verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Here's my response. First of all, believe in Jesus Christ and you have eternal life. You don't have to try to do anything. You don't have to try to do good works, or you don't have to make status quo or go to a certain mission trip to go. You just have to believe in Jesus Christ. One of the Philippian jailers asked the Apostle Paul, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul answers simply, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I met a coworker the place that I work, in the warehouse, and I found out that she is a practicing Buddha. She basically go to this Buddhist place, and she basically do all the chanting. And she talked about how you can build good karma and bad karma. Good karma is based on how many good works you do. Bad karma is based on how bad you do. And basically, it's kind of the idea. The more good it is, the better good would be. The more bad it would be, like whether it's lie, which it might be a little good, little bad, versus killing someone, that would be really, really bad. And then basically, they believe in an afterlife. They believe in reincarnation, that when you die, you're going to be something else. Well, the thing is, one, that's not true. I had to be straight to the point. That's not true. But two, even if it was true, how do you know what person you're going to be? How much good you need to do to get to that better person, or how much bad you need to do to be a better person? I'd rather stick with the Bible, with God, who has a simple plan of salvation for us, the truth of Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It is much easier than any of the religions that they do, because all the other religions in the world, even those who claim to be non-religious, they are work-based. But with our Christianity, the religion from my Bible, it is faith-based. Trust in Christ, believe in Christ, and you'll be saved. Any person can do that. Believe in. Also, I want to say that, you know, we have eternal life. We have the assurance of eternal life. I remember when one of the deacons showed me the day that I got saved. He showed me 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. Yes, ye may know that ye have eternal life. It's not like, oh, you're probably going to have eternal life. You most likely would know you may have eternal life. No, ye may know that ye have eternal life. Some people may question, how can you know that you can have eternal life? Because the Bible says so.
Amen.
It's going down to what the Bible says. You know, I thank God that he saved me from sin. He saved me from eternal death in hell. He saved me from the worry that I don't have to worry about going to hell, because I simply trust in Christ as your Savior. And because the reason why I'm serving the Lord today is with joy, it's not because I have to try to earn my way to go to heaven. It's because now I know I'm going to heaven. Now I get to serve my life for him and live freely for him. And I pray that that is the same thing for you as well. And last response, once you're saved, God will never let you go. Turn to John chapter 10, verses 27, 29. Sorry, Dave, I went past 7 o'clock. I just want to let you know that, but I'm trying my best. John chapter 10. Just enjoy the food of what you're getting from God's word, because that's the most important part. Now, preaching till midnight, just as Paul did at one point, I don't think I'm going to get that far. So John chapter number 10, verses 27, 29. Here, Jesus said to his the people that he's speaking to, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Now, when you hear this verse, when I was looking through this verse, this is referring to, I would think of it basically, God will not take away our salvation. We cannot lose our salvation. Eternal life is grasped on the Father's hand. But more than just the eternal life as our destination is going to heaven, God is not going to let us go, even here on our earth. Just as a good shepherd would take care of his sheep, no matter where the sheep go, no matter where he runs, he's not going to let them go. He's not going to give them up. He is going to bring them back. He will be that shepherd that even when he have the 99 and he's missing one, he is going to find that one sheep and get him back. You may know someone that you know that is just drifting away from God, that is not walking the Lord. Maybe he used to go to church, maybe he used to quote scripture, maybe he loved the Bible, but now, due to things that have been happening in the world, whether it's bitterness, whether it's falling in love with the world, whether it's anything, any distraction, he's not in church. Or maybe he's in church, but he doesn't have that fire, that passion that he once had for God to live for him. Regardless of what your situation is, if you're a believer in Christ, God will not let you go. Amen. You can go back to your sins, and I can tell you that I have gone back to my old sins for a period of time after I got saved. But I couldn't stay there for long, at least not without losing my joy. And many of you can testify it. You have sins in your life before you're saved, and you enjoy the pleasure of sin, and after you got saved, you still get into the sin. But you found out you can't stay there for long because you have the Holy Spirit that's in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you, working in your heart and saying, "Why are you doing it? Why are you pricking me? Why are you pricking me?" And he is going to make you miserable and miserable and miserable and miserable until you decide to surrender your life and go back to God. So God is not going to let you go. And that is the fascinating thing about eternal life. He did not just secure our destination to heaven, but he secured us that he will help us to finish the race that God has set for us, even when we go way off track. So that's the fifth truth. True believers are given assurance of eternal life, and we can really enjoy the eternal life. Truth number six, true believers receive answered prayers. True believers receive answered prayers. Go back to 1 John chapter number 5, and now look with me in verse 14 through 17. Here John said this, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." Let me stop there. If you ask God anything, if you're a believer in Christ, if you ask God anything that is according to his will, "God, help me to get through this trial. Help me to overcome it. God, I'm praying for someone in my family or a friend of mine that will get saved. God will hear your prayer because it's according to his will. As long as according to scripture is not contrary to scripture, he will hear you and he will answer you. Verse 15, and if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. I'm not trying to embarrass you in any way, but how many of you have prayed a certain prayer and you prayed something specific and you remember that God has answered your prayer at least one time? And it could be simple. It could be something simple. You remember that you prayed and you know that God answered your prayer. If that's you, raise your hand. Okay, several hands. If you have not experienced the answer of prayer, check out your salvation first. Now, if you're a new believer or you've been not walking with the Lord, then that's one thing. But just check out your salvation. But if you know that you are saved, if you are saved, then take the time to ask God. When the last time you go to God in prayer? When was the last time you go to God and ask for help? When was the last time you go and ask God for wisdom? For just maybe wisdom with anything? I've told this, and Stephen could testify it. I told it to several students in my math class. They come to me the next day or the morning of, and they say, Mr. Kim, I don't understand this lesson, even though I have taught this like 3, 4, 5 times. And I told them, if you have questions, you can call me, you can text me, you can come early in the morning, I'll be there. Just ask. Ask God. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God what you need, and he will be there for you. So pray and ask God. And also, there's a more specific request. Look with me in verse 16 and 17 concerning when you pray for other believers. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. What it's saying is, if let's say, I'm picking on Anthony. I see Anthony, he committed a sin. Let's say I knew he was getting angry and he had a bad attitude. Now, Anthony did not die. Obviously, he's alive today. So he did not sin unto death. If you see a person that have sinned, but he didn't die, pray for them. If you see me sin at all, pray for me. That's what it's saying. Verse 17. Or I didn't finish verse 16. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. If you know a believer that is going astray, for whatever reason it may be, pray for them. Pray for them that they will turn back. They will come back to God. And it could be a small sin, it could be a big sin, it could be multitude of sins, whatever it may be. Pray for them. We are a family of Christ. We are believers in Christ.
Right.
We don't have to go and try to quarrel and fight anything about any little things that we need to do. We're family of God, and we need to pray for one another because this is a family. Amen. One thing I really enjoyed about being in the church, and especially getting to work in this ministry just in a Christian school, being in this church pretty much every day is just getting to meet with the people that I work with godly pastors that I got to interact with, like Pastor Nick, Pastor Duana, and Pastor Weigel, and all my teachers that I work with me and the staff, and even the people in the church. You all have been a huge, huge blessing to me. And that what I love about going to church is coming to church where I get to talk with other believers and have fellowship with other believers and share my burden and my desire to them, and that we could pray for one another. And that's just a great thing about just being in a church, being in a local body of believers that would be together and love one another and pray for one another. So if you know someone who is going astray, pray for them. That's truth number 6. True believer, receive answer prayer. God hears you. If you're a believer of Christ, take advantage of it. Go to God. Ask God whatever you need. Truth number 7, true believers don't live in sin. Going to 1 John 5, verse 18, the first part of the verse. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. that phrase does not talk about that you're never ever going to sin. Just because you're saved, just because you're a believer, you're born of God, it is not saying that you're not going to sin at all. You can see in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we confess that we have, or if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So I was just looking through the verse and like, what is he talking about? Well, let me put it this way. I like to pick on young people. Johnny, I'm going to pick on you. So Johnny, I would say Johnny played basketball. Johnny played basketball, and I could say Jeremy, he played basketball as well. They were the two seniors that played for the Ocean County Christian Academy. Now, are they playing basketball at this moment, dribbling the ball on the court while I'm preaching? Are they playing basketball right now at this moment? No, they're not. But I can say they are playing basketball because this is what they normally do when they're on a team. They're playing on a team. They probably play for fun, and they're playing in the summer league. It is something that I have played. Now, on the other hand, for me, up till before I came here, I say I do not play basketball. I don't play basketball. Working in the Christian school and being a coach changed that. But that doesn't mean that I never, ever played basketball in my life. I did it through my public school, elementary school, middle school, and high school, playing basketball in gym. I did some in college just playing for fun, but I was not the type of person that I was good. I would be the happy person. I would be very happy if I shot one hoop. If I made one two-pointer in a game, I would be extremely, extremely happy of myself. That's the type of person I was. I did not play basketball. But that doesn't mean that I never, ever played basketball. It's just that it's not something that I would play on a regular basis. So what it's talking about in verse 18, and if you look at basically just studying it more, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. It's not talking about that you're never, ever going to sin, but it's talking about that a person that is born of God is not going to keep living in a lifestyle of sin. He is not going to keep sinning. A person that tries to keep sinning, tries to keep backsliding, he is not going to last very long. It's going to happen where either one, he's going to repent and turn back to God and confess it because he felt so miserable, or two, he's going to end up sinning to the point of death and God will take him home. So just continuing on for that, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that begotten of God keepeth himself, and that the wicked one toucheth him not. And just to kind of share with you a last point. If you're finding yourself struggling, if you're struggling whether you're falling into a sin, or maybe you're falling into a sin of apathy or pride, meaning that there's not a specific sin that you are dwelling into, but your love for God, your love for other believers, your love for the Bible is not as rich as it should be, I encourage you just to repent. Just repent. Go back to God. Confess. Ask God to renew your heart. Fire yourself up. Those of you who are going to the wilds, ask God to teach you something. You're going to have a lot of fun there. You're going to meet a lot of new people. You're going to do some crazy games, see some crazy skits. But you're going to hear powerful preaching of God's word. Some of the most powerful preaching that I have heard was through camps such as the wilds. And you will really, really enjoy it if you allow God work in your heart to do that. Also, another response, love not the world. You know, if you're going to live for God, if you're going to live in a lifestyle that are not sin, you can't love the world. He made it clear in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So you can't hold God and the world together. You have to either hold on one and throw the other, or you have to hold the one and throw the other. You cannot hold both. And it's easy for us that we can hold God and then the world and try to put it together. It doesn't work that way. You have to give up the world. Amen. And go for God. And that's when you're going to see the full blessing, and when you give up everything and go for God. The last truth that I want to share with you, truth number 8. True believers don't live in sin. And then truth number 8, true believers are protected from Satan. I'll read verse 18 again. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God, basically is received and owned of God, keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. That wicked one referring to basically the prince, the king of all devil, Satan himself. Verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. You know, Satan, he's our enemy. Satan is not your friend. Even if you're not a believer, he is not your friend. He desires to take your life away. He desires to be deceived. And he desires you to die and go to hell for all eternity and suffer the pain. If you're saved, if you're a believer, you don't have to worry about Satan to touch you. At best, Satan would kill you and take your life away, your earthly life. But even if he does that, he can never take away your eternal life in heaven. And that's the insurance thing. You're saved. You don't have to worry about the enemy. You don't have to worry about Satan. If you're not saved, beware. Satan is a great deceiver, and he can deceive many people. He's deceived many people into different religions, different occults, different witchcraft, Satanism. It would be crazy just to explain or to comprehend the things that go on through that. But if you're a believer in Christ, you don't have to worry about Satan. God will protect you. Don't worry. The devil cannot hurt you. God will protect you. Just trust in him, knowing that you are on the winning side, as we sang today. So just kind of quick review. Truth number one, you are born of God. Truth number two, love God, love others, keep his commandments. Three, you overcome the world. Four, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Five, you are given assurance of eternal life. Six, you receive answered prayers. Seven, you don't have to live in sin. You have the victory to live in sin, and you can't live in sin for long. And then eight, you are protected from the wicked one, Satan. Now I want to share with you the last few verses, and I think I have it on the next slide. So this is John's final words. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, I shared a theme when we did the study of 1 John, and it's three words. First word start with K, second word start with J, last word start with B, KJV. And no, the theme is not the King James Bible. What is the theme? Someone shout out. Knowing Jesus victoriously. 1 John is a great book where you can know God more, you can know personally, and you know how you can have eternal life and that you have a God that is personal. Now, I thought it very interesting in sharing with the last verse. Next slide, verse 21. He concludes with these words. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Now, I was looking through this and I'm like, he ends the letter saying, little children, keep yourselves from idols. What is he talking about? Well, back in the New Testament, you know how they have basically a lot of Roman and Greek historical stuff that they have, you know, the Greek gods and the Roman gods and goddesses that they worship. And they have a lot of these idols, a lot of these gods that they have, and they need to put them away. Now, we don't have those kind of gods today, but we have basically something that basically treat us as an idol. Anything that we put in replace of God or put that as a priority before God would be an idol. So it could be anything from money. It could be from video game, television, sports, Facebook. And I think there is one idol from my observation this past year that many of us, many people today in our country are guilty of. Cell phones. And actually smartphones, because I would see this in the airport, I would see this at work, I would see this, doesn't matter what age you are, you could be 12 years old, 70 years old, 20 years old, 30 years old, 40, 50, and you see people just looking at their phones like this. They're not necessarily talking to you, other than they're just looking at the phone, they're texting, They're looking at social media. Ooh, there's a knob. I want to play that game. I got it. I want to accept a friend request. Woohoo. Ooh, what's this? And that you get caught up to these things, and I mean, I'm guilty myself. Like, I just look up these things, and you get stuck with it for 20 minutes, 40 minutes, 1 hour, and you don't even realize it. So, what do we do with that? Any idols that you have. By the way, I'm not saying that video games are wrong, Facebook is wrong, cell phone is wrong. We all have it. We all use it. The problem is not those things. The problem is us. These things take control of our lives because of who we are. We are sinners. We like to think that we are good people. We like to think that better than we are. But Jesus said that there is none good but one. That is God. And we have to realize that all of us are guilty before God, and all are guilty are sinners. We can point on the sin of someone else, but, and to be honest, we have to point our sin for ourselves. So that's why we need to pray for one another. If you see someone is backsliding a little bit, if you don't feel comfortable going to them, just pray for them. Pray for that person. And pray for the teens, honestly. I could tell you just from this church that I went to, there was a few kids from that church, including the pastor's son. And I don't know where their lives are right now. As far as I know, they're not walking with the Lord or having a heart to serve the Lord from my old church, the church that I got saved. And it is easy for many teenagers growing up, for whatever reason, whether they're not established in their faith in Christ, whether they are drawn to peer pressure, whether they're drawn in for the world, or maybe they want to try to find life better out there in the world, whatever it may be, and then they're not in church anymore, they're not having a heart to serve the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, it is a hard battle. But I can tell you, it is not an impossible battle. Right. That might sound like a bad news, but it is a good news. Choose ye this day for whom you will serve. I told this to my students that, just to encourage them, even if none of you want to serve the Lord, even if none of you want to have a heart for God, I'm going to have the heart for God. I will. I will serve the Lord even when no one else did. David took a stand alone for God. If it wasn't for David, they would have not given the victory. And because of David's faith, he brought victory for an entire nation. You know, having a person, one person will make a difference. If we have one person to drive the van, that will make a huge difference. One person to help out the kitchen, that will make a huge difference. One person or a couple that will try to lead a soul-winning ministry to go out on a regular basis, that will make a huge difference. There's a lot of potential that God can use in the church. The question is, will you do it? If God will lay a specific burden in your heart, go for it. Do it. Because remember, with God, nothing is impossible. All right. Thank you for your time. I'm going to close in a word of prayer, and we'll go from there. Dear God, thank you so much for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Thank you for their attentive listening. I pray that they will get something from us, and I pray that you would just work this church in Ocean County Baptist Church. Use them in a mighty way to build a healthy church here that will grow spiritually in numbers, and that you will move in a wider way to make an impact, to make a testimony around just not only just in our county or in our state, but in the whole world, that missionaries, that people around the world can see that here is Ocean County Baptist Church that love the Lord, serving him and reaching out to people for Christ. Bless the rest of the service and keep everyone safe. Keep the people that in the wilds, help them have a good time, but help them to grow in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.